There are very few people on the globe who are as beloved by her fans as Nicki Minaj. Ever since she exploded onto the scene as the first lady of Young Money, she found an audience in those who longed for a woman to assert themselves in an industry that had been dominated by men for so long. Along the way, she cultivated a rabid fan base of Barbs who would defend her at all costs, and over the years, she's put them to work, with Nicki never exactly being shy of saying precisely what's on her mind. At times, she's gone off about the double standards she believes women like her have to deal with in the game.
What people don't understand is that when I was doing this, I took a lot of shit from people, from men who didn't want me to realize my own worth, who didn't want me to know the truth about who I was and how good I was. Like, I had people literally like speak to labels that wanted to sign me and wouldn't tell me. And I just dealt with a lot of stuff from guys. I've just always felt like I'm never gonna let anyone pull me down, make me feel small. I'm never gonna let a man do that. And I think sometimes that transfers over into your career as a woman and you feel like, wait a minute, excuse me? What?
On other occasions, she's made headlines at award shows, including shooting her shots at other celebrities.
Shout out to Donatella Versace for custom making this outfit for me. And shout out to Michael B. Jordan because he's gonna be taking it off of me tonight.
But for Nicki, that's just the tip of the iceberg, because over the years, she's used her platform to wreak havoc in the lives of others, launching entire smear campaigns against journalists to the point that they get doxxed, or trying to silence those who disagree with her.
Who gives a f*** what she popped? But don't sit here and say you ain't popped a f***ing pill.
I never said that.
An apple.
I never said that, you dumb f***. Are you that fucking dumb? Are you that fucking dumb? You ain't hear what the fuck I said? Well, you like tearing down women when they can't defend themselves. He's so used to thinking he's the smartest person in the fucking room.
And most of the time, those people got off easy compared to some of her rivals, who've had to deal with years of heat from not just Nicki, but her Barbs, who ride out with a vengeance every single time. It all seems so quiet on the Barbs front for a little while, with Nicki seemingly focusing on herself and her family following the extensive touring that followed Pink Friday 2. But if you followed Nicki for a while, you know it doesn't take much. Any little slight she feels is enough to get her riled up and send her army into battle. Most recently, she's been fighting on two fronts, with her always chaotic ex account acting as her weapon of choice. And as she spirals, it now seems like everyone who hasn't pledged their allegiance to her fan club a long time ago is struggling to wrap their heads around her increasingly unhinged claims. Because while she used to handle controversy with at least some sense of control, the Nicki we see today has people, even some longtime fans, asking how anyone could still defend her. I actually like a good chunk of her music. She is basically impossible to like as a person though. To listen to her music, I basically have to pretend I haven't seen anything she's done, said, or tweeted in the last decade. Reading some of the replies on here had me concerned for folks after a family member was recently diagnosed with schizophrenia. So how did we even get here? How did Nicki go from a beloved superstar to someone people now see as spiraling from inside her mansion, ranting about anything and everything? Well, to look at how it generally plays out, look no further than her recent confrontations with not just people, but entire entities in the culture. First off, there was the decision to go after TDE's Punch, and by extension, the former management client SZA. In a spree of posts that looked to have come from out of nowhere, Nicki went after a then unnamed TDE exec over alleged mistreatment. LOL, y'all remember that man on TDE who kept bullying me on Twitter for no reason? We have the receipts. I never even responded to him. What was his name again, y'all? I'm gonna give him a nickname. I'ma call him minus 30 million from now on. Hashtag justice for Damore. Soon after, she made it clear that it was actually the label's longtime CEO Punch that she was going after. Guarantee you wouldn't fight a man. We have every tweet of your incessant bullying, lying, and more. Your name was added to that shit list, shitty drawer. Same thing that make you laugh, make you shit. Followed by a photo of Punch. But despite all the big talk, no receipts were forthcoming. Instead, it seemed like this feud started like so many of them do, with Nicki taking things personally, even when they weren't directed at her. In actual fact, the catalyst appeared to be something entirely separate from her, with Nicki's paranoia leading her to interpret Punch's promotion of the track Broken Barbies from the new TDE signee I Am Lyric. And considering that they had been cool before, it left people confused about what went wrong.
So I reached out to Punch from TDE, who I also talked about in the first hour, who was at one point managing managing SZA, and I asked him, how did we get here? So he said, back in 2020, Nicki Minaj had reached out for a SZA feature on a song. He responded and told Nicki Minaj that SZA was in album mode heavy and that he would get it over to her, and that was it. They never spoke again. Feature didn't happen, but he says he's lost after that as well. Like, and so then I followed up and I said, okay, so there was no further issue. Mm-hmm. Like, I still don't understand from that, how did we get here?
But like many of Nicki's feuds, it didn't stop there. Before you knew it, more people were getting dragged into the chaos. This time around, it was longtime TDE signee SZA who declared, "Mercury retrograde. Don't take the bait, lol. Silly goose." Almost instantly, Minaj responded to that remark, which might have had nothing to do with her, by writing, "Go draw your freckles back on, Bookie. Liar, liar, pants on fire." Sounding like a fucking dead dog. While SZA normally isn't shy about speaking her mind, and has had many online run-ins with Punch herself, it seemed like she didn't really want to go back and forth with Nicki, brushing it off by saying, "I don't give a fuck about none of the shit you popping." Still, Nicki took it as a cue to go on the offensive, clowning SZA's looks, and hinting that she only made it by cozying up to the right people behind the scenes. She used to be on Twitter dissing Rihanna, CJ, etc. But then, when it was time to suck Zik and get opportunities from them, she drew them freckles on and got to sucking, right? Stop being jealous of women you would secretly kill to be up their assholes. These men putting batteries in y'all backs and y'all stupid enough to still keep it going, not peeping that it's not going to end well for them or you. Shut up, ugly. I'm in a meeting, so I don't know if you were still talking shit or not. So if you didn't, I'll delete later. Ho. With Minaj still unwilling to let it go, she then headed onto her typically explosive station head channel to further try to defame her.
"And so everything I said was real. Listen, Mizza, find you somebody to motherfucking play with, Mizza. Lay miserable, bitch. I said find you some motherfucking else body to play with, bitch. You already played with your own hoe and we seen how that went, bitch."
As the world tried to piece together why she had flown off the handle to such a degree, her critics wondered why she was essentially given a free pass to do whatever she wants without repercussions because of the unconditional love she gets.
"And this just is such a prime example of how terrible social media can be, not just for the mental health of your average person, but an artist who manages to build a fan base that operates nearly like a cult and will basically validate and accept almost anything that you tell them, which if you're a certain type of person, that could give you pretty quickly a bit of a god complex where you feel like you can say and do just about anything with little to no repercussions, because no matter what happens, those hardcores that love and accept everything that you say, they're going to be there. And while in the past it has been cool that the Barbs have been there to back up Nicki and support her through some legitimately rough patches and tough times in her career, now she's just going out there and picking petty fights with industry people and huge fellow artists who most likely would have a lot of goodwill toward her in any other scenario. But yeah, this is weird, this is odd, and this is super unflattering."
While others suggest there was an undisclosed and underlying reason for her coming at TDE, with some fans suggesting that it's just because she feels threatened by the new competition that the label has provided her for relevance in female rap. She's doing all this because Dochi. When it was Cardi, she used to attack Atlantic. When it was Megan, she used to drag Roc Nation. Now Dochi is the main rap girl and she's coming for TDE. Along the way, she even got a stern warning that this maybe wasn't the best approach from MacWap, unless she wanted it to play out similarly to the last Young Money roster member who tangled with TDE affiliates.
"Nicki, relax. Relax. Well, you get put in the blender like you're poignant.
Entertaining Nicki ain't even like in our best interest right now. I'm gonna be honest, with all due respect to her."
And in the case of throwing stones and hiding your hand, Nicki then went online to inquire if the FBI viewed his claims as a threat, while labeling TDE as a very shady business. And considering how abruptly she went from aggressor to potential victim, it hasn't exactly weakened the argument that in the past few years, her track record of being on the right side of these disputes or not entirely motivated by self-interest is pretty dubious. I don't give a fuck what the argument is. Nicki Minaj looks batshit insane is usually the correct stance to have. have. For the Barbs, the counterpoint to this would always be that she only lashes out when threatened or responds to the slander that she's experienced. But while there is a case to be made for self-defense in certain situations in the past, it's fair to say that these days, it's Nikki who is firing the first shots across the bow. Recently, one of Nikki's biggest targets has been none other than Jay-Z. Despite his billionaire status and role as pioneer in hip-hop, it has become very clear as of late that the only thing she respects about him is his pen. This was made clear during his fallout of Kendrick being awarded that Super Bowl halftime show, with Nikki maintaining that her mentor Lil Wayne was passed up due to Jay's issues with Cash Money before basically betraying him as a traitor, denying a young black man what he rightfully put into this game for no other reason but your ego, Nikki tweeted. Your hatred for Birdman, Drake, and Nikki got you punishing Lil Wayne? Lil Wayne? The GOAT? Nola, what's good? Eminem stood firm on having 50 Cent come out. A white man. Shit, sad. She didn't let up there either, using her verse on Wayne's Banned From No remix to send a shot Jay's way. French vanilla hazelnut in my Starbucks. NFL, fire some dudes and then call us. But ever since the Super Bowl incident, it seems like Minaj has dwelled on her issues with Jay, even going as far as to suggest that she was swindled out of money from his streaming service Tidal and its sale to Jack Dorsey. We've calculated about 100 to 200 million so far. Jay-Z called me to settle this debt. It's only collecting more interest. You are still in my top 5 though. I'm going to use some of the money Jay-Z owes me to send some of my Barbs to college, pay their school fees and student loans via my Student of the Game charity. However, he's by no means the only person in the upper ranks of Jay's Roc Nation that she's come after, because in recent times, she's been going at one of the company's leading figures too. Hey, at Grok, what's the Roc Nation CEO Desiree Perez's lawsuit filed by her daughter accusing her of? What she's alluding to here is a lawsuit filed in May 2025 by Perez's daughter, Demori Hadley, which accused her mother of Roc Nation of orchestrating an involuntary psychiatric commitment on the Florida's Baker and Marchman acts. Since filing the lawsuit, Demori has appeared on numerous platforms to elaborate on her mother's apparently vindictive and controlling ways. And now that Nikki has an axe to grind against Roc Nation, the very management firm that oversees the career of her enemy Megan Thee Stallion, Minaj has latched on this and ran with it. Oh, they sleep claiming they woke. Even Desiree Perez didn't know what was about to happen. Oh, they'll all know soon. Don't mind the ego. That's all fluff from very little insecure souls who are shriveling up inside. And while it's been one-way traffic, Nikki has been going at her relentlessly. In the process, she has cited everything from people she supposedly removed from the industry through her previous criminal convictions. This alludes to a 1994 arrest for conspiracy with intent to distribute narcotics, in which Perez cooperated with the U.S. Attorney's Office and received a sentence of 5 years probation. Among other offenses, she was later charged with parole violation and served 9 months in prison in 1999. Recently, she was pardoned by Trump and was exonerated of the crime in its entirety. And while Desiree's been at the center of a lot of Nikki's recent attacks, Nikki still found ways to go even harder, calling out not just Roc Nation's shady business moves, but Jay himself. Deseret, do a lot of evil to black people and you stayed silent. We used to believe you. Let's see if they have any thoughts on that Deseret pardon, Nikki continued. Let's see if they have any thoughts on brother billionaire never campaigning for Kamala even after Obama pleaded with the brothers. Isn't this the brother who could have probably gotten the job done for y'all? Welp, if the top brother in charge can leave y'all hanging without repercussions, then may everyone else leave you hanging as well. Hanging like my cousin's friend's balls. You forgot one. Desiree Perez, Roc Nation CEO, she said in another post about her extensive list of enemies. Now, do another one for every person who's accused Roc Nation or Jay-Z of shady business practices. Do another one for every rapper who says they were blackballed or worse due to these weak people who stand behind badges in order to steal money from people allegedly. Or another for every artist they allegedly stole from other companies by way of unethical business practices. Another for every company Jay-Z, with his 55 and insecure ass, sits on the board of, and how it could be a conflict of interest. Do another for all the things Desiree Perez is accused of doing to her daughter, and another for every blog who didn't post about Desiree Perez's daughter or Jay-Z paternity test stuff, but posted, seemingly all at the exact same time, about anything they thought could hurt many other people's families. While random comments like referring to her cousin's friend's testicles that claimed were enlarged by a COVID vaccine didn't exactly help her case, she found an ally in Nessa Diab, the wife of Colin Kaepernick, who she feels was abandoned by Jay after an initial period of championing his cause. Nicki Minaj exposing the smear campaign tactics that Jay-Z, Roc Nation, and Desiree Perez did to her behind the scenes is very similar to what I was told they did to Kaepernick when Jay purposely co-opted Colin's protest by siding with the NFL to help their image after they blackballed Colin for his protest. I called them all out years ago, and so many people were scared to say it publicly, but would tell me how they agreed with me privately. Shaking my head, Roc Nation apparently took $5 million a year over 5 years to bury the growing protest, and specifically help them move on beyond the controversy around teams' unwillingness to sign Kaepernick, she continued, quoting an ESPN article she included as a screenshot. Desiree even said, "We love that everybody wants to be on the stage, that we've completely changed the conversation to fighting for it versus boycotting. We've come a long way." She got her pardon by Trump. It's no coincidence the NFL owners are his buddies and also donated millions to his campaign. I still don't watch that league or whoever is performing at whatever game they are playing. From claiming she owed millions to getting into slanderous territory about how they run the industry, Nicki probably has Roc Nation's attention. But instead of trying to silence her in the way that they have in the past when Jay was accused of misconduct, they're just ignoring her.
Nicki Minaj has been on X saying that the blogs and online creators don't cover her and Jay-Z's back and forth the same way as they do everything else.
Well, it's not a back and forth.
It's definitely not a back and forth. I was about to, it's just been a forth.
I have no idea about their business, but if someone owed me $200 million, then I would be in court, not on X. And I guarantee you, if she ever took that to court, that would be a huge story.
Yeah, I agree.
You might as well say Jay-Z's the head of Doge. Jay-Z invaded Gaza. You might as well just come on, add some more to that, Nicki. Don't stop there.
There's a lot here, man.
Jay-Z is the reason for processed foods. Okay, he's the reason that the artificial dyes and the candy. Mm-hmm. What else?
And when it comes down to it, there's probably several reasons for this. For starters, many people believe that she doesn't have anything to back up her claims. She has no case. Otherwise, she'd be following a lawsuit instead of running her mouth. She lost her mind a long time ago. And on the subject of the public believing that she's long since lost her sanity, this feeds directly into why they feel confident to leave the whole thing out there for everyone to see. Because when you've gotten into as many issues like this as she's had over the years, people simply do not take them seriously. After all, TDE and Roc Nation are just recent targets in a career littered with battles over things both trivial and worthwhile fighting over. So let's see how she got to the point that she's renowned for flying off the handle, that even if everything that she's saying about Roc Nation is true, people are inclined to just dismiss it because of who's saying it. When charting Nicki's history of beefs, it's important to look at how she's had disputes with the artists that paved the way for her. Long before she was beefing with the new women of the game, Nicki was the up-and-comer who threatened the status quo. First up, there was her explosive feud with Lil' Kim. In a culture where you're supposed to pay homage to the stars that came before you and paved the way, Nicki was accused by Kim of stealing her style without giving her any of her flowers.
Seemed like you just don't get along. She kind of idolized you when she first came out with, you know, a lot of the stuff she did, whether it was her mixtapes, whether it was the same posters, the same poses.
Every female rapper coming up under Kim idolized Kim.
Right. Absolutely. So what happened? What was the left turn where it was just like...
Can I ask you this?
Absolutely.
Let me ask you a question. Mm-hmm. Okay. How come when I come up places, they want to ask me these questions, but they don't never ask her?
And it seemed when you was coming at Nicki, you was, you know, just being bitter and
but
disgruntled.
But you're wrong.
You seem like the old, you remember Players
but
Club?
But you're wrong. Let me tell you why you're wrong. And let me tell you why you did wrong. The way I did my vocals, hers were different from how I did my vocals at that time. So shortly after that, she started releasing all these records, doing her vocals the way I did my vocals. Now... okay, whatever.
And from there, all bets were off. With not only Kim going at her on her Black Friday mixtape, but the Queen of the Barbs also dropping bars in her direction throughout her career, all the way up to Stupid Ho. Then, in a Hot 97 interview, Kim spoke on Minaj and whether the two could squash their beef, but she decided to mock her voice instead.
Like, is this gonna continue going on, or do you think, like, say she says nothing else from this day forward?
See, in this industry, what I've learned... is you never know. You just never know. And that's what I've learned in this industry. You just don't pick fights. And you don't pick fights with Kimmy Blanco. Cause I'm not taking my foot off her neck. Now, you started this? Oh, she ready for this. Cause I don't play. I'm not playing this. I'm not with that. Now,
I would do a song with her.
You would?
For the right price.
Oh my God.
She's a G. She's a hustler.
I'm a hustler. 7 million? Because that's my favorite number. 7 million? Maybe.
As in her view, it has progressed to a point where it went left and couldn't be retrieved without her making major amends.
Some things just can't be mended unless there's like a different type of conversation, because some people take it too far. Some people take it to a point where they try to take everything from you, or they try to really deliberately see you in the ground, or, you know, they still hold on to, I'm right. And that person, if you're wrong, and everyone knows if that person is wrong, you have to right your wrong. You have to do that. You just have to do that. In that situation, you get so many windows in life, and you get so many times in the music industry to make something right. And when you shun it at one point, people are going to be like, you phony. You fat. I can't. You know what I mean? A snake is a snake. I'm not going to pick it up just because, all right, it was being nice to me, wrapping around my leg. It's still a snake.
As for Nikki, she used her new status as the queen of the commercial landscape to discredit her.
Don't play with me, you know, because I respect you. I love you. I've said it in every interview, time and time again. And if that's not good enough with you, mama, then it's something deep-rooted in you. Something is bothering you inside. That's your insecurity bothering you. It's not Nicki Minaj. It would have been any girl that started popping. She picked a fight with Foxy. Then she picked a fight with Eve, then she picked the fight with Remy. Now it's, you know, then it was Miss Wallace, then it was Nicki Minaj. Every time you in the news, it's because you're getting at somebody. Where's your music? Put your music out, and when I see your name on Billboard, that's when I'll respond to you. Other than that, goodbye.
But as time has gone on, Nikki eventually decided to give her kudos.
Speaking of respect, I saw you say that you would do a versus with one or two people. We all got to guessing. I already know one of those people would and should be. My guess would be Kim.
I'm not saying anybody's name.
But that's something that you would seriously be open to? I feel like you just want to get up there and slaughter somebody with a bunch of hits and features.
No, because I approach those things as a rap fan.
When myself or Lil' Kim goes on the internet, every day we see our influence. I'm not going to say it's about me only and not give that woman her just due about what she did. But while she eventually found a begrudging respect for Kim, this isn't always the case. Such as in her seemingly lifelong animosity towards Remy Ma. Where Nikki is often the one who's decoding lyrics to find disses, it's suspected that issues with Nikki and Remy stem back to a track named Dirty Money from 2006, in which she raps, "Tell that bitch with the crown to run it like Chris Brown." After Remy came home from doing a bit in prison, she took exception to this, and soon, she turned down a collab with her and Foxy Brown.
We spoke about working together, like when I first came home, she had reached out and she was working in Ohio. Like she said, she had wanted to do a song with me, her, and I just didn't want to do that. I didn't think that was something that I wanted to do.
But she ultimately insisted there was no smoke.
People recognize her talent and they recognize mine, and that's probably why they want to see it. And it has been a really long time since two women that were actually relevant at the time that they were doing the music did something together and made history. So I think that's what the people are asking for, because I hear it a lot and I get questioned about it a lot, but no, there's nothing I can do. I'm just gonna do what I do, but I don't feel that it's to the point where it's gonna make or break me.
Until eventually, she revealed that she felt there was a receipt owed for that line on Dirty Money.
Like, I'm not gonna lie, like when she came out, she had did a freestyle over the Yeah beat, and she said, I don't remember what she said, the exact line, but she said something like, tell a chick with the crown and run it like Chris Brown. When I seen it at her party, I was like, yeah, what's that line about? Like, I brought it up to her, whatever. Like, I don't, to this day, I think it was sad about, at me. I'm gonna get you back for that, by the way. But it's cool, like, that's what you do in rap, and I'm cool with that.
And while this initially seemed like a friendly competition, things evolved. And after Remy believed there were subliminals on tracks like Swalla and Fake Love, she decided it was time to unleash the scathing 7-minute diss track titled Sheether, which accused Nikki of everything from getting plastic surgery to claiming that she doesn't write her raps. And to this day, many people, including other veterans like The Brat, believe that this is a rare L that Minaj has taken in the rap world, as Remy's pen game was just too strong.
Everything she's done is cool, and proud of her for representing the female MC, but I gotta go with Remy. I got history with Remy. She's mm-hmm. part of my era. I respect Remy. We friends, so I gotta go with Rem Dog on this one. I mean, as far as the bars, Remy's bars has eaten the
out of anything Nicki has ever said, unfortunately. I'm right. sorry. Yeah. So everybody now is just wait, because this is hip hop. This is yeah. real hip hop.
Okay.
Now we waiting on to see what Nicki gonna say. Like, this is what hip hop is kind of about. I hate the beef because it's not a lot of female MCs.
Yeah, exactly.
But how can you be quiet? Because Rim took it all the way below the belt and went real deep. Yeah. Like,
how long does Nicki Minaj have left to respond to this before she's completely null and void?
30 seconds. She better be in the kitchen storing up something.
That time is now.
In response, Nicki once again fixated on her dominance in the mainstream landscape, declaring on No Frauds that you can't be Pablo if your work ain't selling. What the fuck is this bitch inhaling? Tried to drop another one, you was itching to scrap. You exposed your ghostwriter, now you wish it was scrapped. And from there, the dust never exactly settled. While accepting the best female hip-hop artist in 2017, Remy let Nicki know that she was ready for the smoke during what should have been a celebratory moment.
I got fat while we starved. Shots in your pads in your bras. Y'all some liars. It ain't no facts in your song. And yeah, that crown is coming back to the Bronx.
As for Nicki, she took a strange tact by basically denying it ever happened, using her rabid fans to amplify her point during an interview.
Because you did get engaged in a rap beef with Remy, like she made.
I didn't engage in a rap beef. I didn't engage. Wait, hold on. Oh, you the queen of this here? One platinum plaque, I will flop. Bitch, where?
And as we know, one thing that Nicki always has going for her is that squad of obsessive supporters who will ride for her no matter what she does or whose toes she viciously steps on. This even extends to her ex-boyfriends too, with some of them even experiencing some of her wrath for talking out of turn about the queen. Way back in the day, Nicki once thought of Meek Mill as the love of her life.
And then I'm coming back and I want to do like a rap tour for the summer. I'm just trying to think. Who should go with me?
Meek Mill.
Oh my God. I knew you was... You're so extra.
Yo, me can't be the baby daddy, though. I'm just throwing it out there. That's not him. He's not ready. He doesn't want that. It has to be somebody else. But he would be good to go on tour with.
Can't be the baby daddy?
Because he's going to be too high maintenance. And you're already high maintenance. You can't have...
What do you mean by that?
What do I mean by him being high maintenance or you?
Him.
You're not going to be able to control or tame somebody like Meek Mill. I mean, maybe you could for like a little while. Maybe you could for a little while. Is that your challenge growl? Did I just give you a challenge?
Don't challenge me, Angie.
I know you're very competitive.
Very.
I mean,
nah.
Give it a shot.
I don't want, because people are going to think we're talking seriously. I got to clear this up.
Oh, stop
it. We're talking
Everybody calm down, relax.
I ain't trying to do nothing with Meek. He's just my friend. And yeah, okay. He's a dope candidate for the tour.
But he would be great for the tour.
But over time, their relationship fell apart. And when it did, the issue made its way on wax. First off, Meek insisted he'd left that chapter behind on 1942 Flows, declaring, "So when you see me out, don't ask me about no Nicki. Fuck I look like telling my business on Wendy." But he should have known better. Just mentioning her name on a track was enough to trigger a response. And sure enough, it came on Barbie Dreams, where Nicki rapped, "Meek still be in my DMs, I be having to duck 'em. I used to pray for times like this, face ass when I fuck 'em." In the face of this allegation, Meek denied it outright in an interview with Vulture where he stated, "I definitely wasn't in nobody's DMs and definitely wasn't nobody ducking me. That's a fact. I actually was laughing at it too, cause there's no limits. I felt it and I liked it. That's a dope rap." But despite everything that he had to say, Nicki was not going to let it go.
"When a grown ass fucking man name drops a woman and this is a woman to sell an album, when I was the only person in your artist corner when everyone turned their back on them and I'm the one, I went and sat down in a meeting with Obama, President Obama, and Ross was there and texted dude after the meeting and said, 'Yo, this chick is a keeper.' I saw the text myself with my own eyes. This chick is a keeper. She went in a room full of rappers and spoke to Obama and the first thing out of her mouth was about you and figuring out your probation situation and why you're still on probation after all these years. And then you come out on an album when it's time to sell some weak ass fucking album and try to disrespect Nicki Minaj?
What?
Later, this progressed to Twitter posts where she went off on him, making some very serious allegations in the process. You beat your own sister and taped it, skit on her and taped it, clicked me in front of your mother and sent me to the hospital, she tweeted. They've been tweeting about my man for a year now, talking about he went to my page to see him, but he was blocked. Dude, move on. I know you bitch embarrassed, shitted yourself in the store when you got pressed too, but with the situation essentially amounting to one famous individual's word against another, the Philly MC hit her with the Uno reverse. The only way you can try to kill my career is to say I be women, Meek penned. Talk about your brother convicted of rape, and you have known and paid for his lawyer. Your little brother touched that little girl too. You know I know, you want me to crash with your boyfriend and I won't. A messy end to a messy relationship, Nicki and Meek are now at war on a permanent basis. After previously having so much love for each other, as a result, it's a rare occasion when Nicki wished that she abstained.
Just find your best to let the small stuff go. I took some time recently to just reflect and take time away. And I was reflecting and I was looking at the things that I gave my energy to and I couldn't believe it. I was just like, what the hell? So I think keep your eye on the bigger picture is what I would say. If I had to, I would have redone the whole thing and just kept my mouth shut. Put my music out and shut it out.
And judging by recent events, it's clear that Nicki didn't learn the lesson from this like she believed she did. While this issue with Meek is a rare instance where she expressed any kind of remorse, it's not the only issue that came up, only for her to later backtrack after taking some time to reflect. In this lane, we have her problems with none other than Miley Cyrus. Previously, the pair were friendly and appeared to have a good relationship during Miley's brief flirtation with hip-hop culture.
And whoever won the twerk competition, she was going to take on like vacation or some shit. I'm like, where do I apply?
Yeah, that's
where
amazing.
Do I get to go on vacation with Nicki? And all you got to do is twerk for
do
it.
Do you look at Nicki's ass and think, man, what kind it's of twerking amazing. Could I do with that thing? Like, that's just...
It would be out of here. It would be like, I that ass is pretty amazing.
But after Nicki made some remarks about Taylor Swift, which Miley then said were not too kind and not very polite, in an interview with the New York Times, their relationship appeared to sour. This led to a verbally violent showdown at the VMAs, with Nicki getting combative with her in front of the whole world.
And now, back to this bitch that had a lot to say about me the other day in the press. Miley, what's good?
Hey, we're all in this industry. We all do interviews, and we all know how they manipulate. Nicki, congratulations.
Although she had the good grace to congratulate on her win, Miley still wasn't exactly over the whole thing, sending words in her direction on the track Catitude, where Miley declared, I love you, Nicki, but I listen to Cardi. In the aftermath of the track being released, Miley insisted there was no problem here, at least not on her end of things. I don't think there's beef now anymore. Actually, one of my songs says, you want to know if we're really beefing? There's no beef. I'm a vegan. When you're authentically yourself, no one can be you. So you're never worried about someone stealing your place because it can't be taken because you're the only one. I think what they do is so different from each other. That's why they both get a crown. They don't have to share. They don't have to break it in half. There's no reason to fight over it. They're both queens. But Nicki wasn't here for this explanation. Instead, she decided to reignite the whole thing with some harsh words.
You never talk shit about Queen. In the first place, she disrespected me in a magazine article for no reason. I had just seen her after she was sucking Mike Will's dick in the studio.
But for all that, it's one of those rare times when the tension actually cooled off, especially when Nicki showed a little empathy towards Miley after she got emotional during an awards show performance. She went from Miley, what's good, to Miley, you good? But while there are times when things are salvageable, there are other instances when it's unlikely that there will ever be any chance of a truce. And you probably guessed it, a prime example of that is her issues with Cardi B. The animosity got underway when the former Love & Hip Hop star Cardi B became a major player in hip hop with Bodak Yellow. This became the first song by a solo female rap artist to reach number one on the Billboard Hot 100 chart since Lauryn Hill's Doo Wop That Thing. And Nicki soon sat up and took notice. And just as Cardi signed with Atlantic Records, Nicki seemed to drop some subs on No Flag, spitting, I hear these labels are trying to make another me, Everything you're getting, Little Ho, is because of me. Before long, the two appeared on a track together for the first and only time with Motorsport alongside Migos. But Nicki labeled Cardi ungrateful for appearing alongside her. Tensions continued to mount, resulting in an eventual fight at New York Fashion Week. Now armed with her Queen radio show, Nicki sounded off on Cardi.
So let me just say this. The other night, I was a part of something so mortifying and so humiliating to go through in front of a bunch of upper echelon. And it's not about white or black. It's about upper echelon, people who have their lives together. The way they pass by looking at this disgusting commotion, I will never forget. I was mortified. I was in Alexander Vautier gown, okay, off the motherfucking runway, okay? And I could not believe how humiliated it all felt because we, and I use we loosely, and I'm gonna clarify we, how we made ourselves look.
But for a moment, it looked like she was trying to take the high road, like someone of her stature should when caught up in drama. But it didn't last. Before long, she was back to lashing out in the way we've all gotten used to by now.
Calling a dead child a monkey, but telling people somebody talked about your child that never talked about your motherfucking child so you can get some fucking sympathy points. They can't feed their fucking family because you mad at what another man sticking his inside of. You mad at a woman for what a man is doing. And that's the problem with so many black women and women, period. Oh, because she not black, because she refers to you black women. Oh, we got the receipts for that too. FYI, she refers to black women as monkeys and roaches. Roaches! You just had the biggest blessing of your life with a child, and in 2 weeks, you have attacked three women, one at Fashion Week, and left looking the way you left looking so that people could point their fingers at our culture and at our community and laugh at us some more. Let me tell you something. A woman cannot give your man pussy if he doesn't stick his dick in there. Who are you angry at, sweetheart? And you want to let your publicist write something about stopping bags?
And to this very day, these two are still at it, even resulting in their then husbands, Kenneth Petty and Offset, getting into an altercation at the 2023 VMAs. Left as enemies, both on the Billboard charts and in their personal lives, this is a familiar situation for Nicki and the new crop of stars, including some of those who once adored her. Just look at Lotto, a woman who fell afoul of Nicki purely for suggesting that other women were winning.
It's great for us. Look how many female rappers is thriving right now, versus it being Nicki and everybody else. Now you know what I'm saying?
Considering that she had regularly cited Nicki as her favorite rapper in past interviews, it seemed like Lotto didn't mean any disrespect. But in a Tea Party edition of Queen Radio, Nicki came for Lotto for daring to compare herself in any way to her.
A lot of other people come in one day and the next day, you trying to categorize yourself with people who've been fucking working and putting their blood, sweat, and tears in this shit for 15 and 20 motherfucking years. And then that album come out and you can clearly see you haven't built up a loyal fan base yet who actually likes your fucking music. And then what they start doing is they start digging the hole deeper for themselves.
Initially, Lotto decided to let it lie out of respect for Nicki. But when Nicki's familiar paranoia about being mistreated at awards ceremonies kicked in, and she lumped Lotto in with her, things got a little testy. I have no problem being moved out of the rap category as long as we are all being treated fairly, Minaj tweeted in response to her submission being moved out of her chosen category. If Super Freaky Girl has moved out of rap, then so does Big Energy. Anyone who says different is simply a Nicki hater or a troll. In response, Lotto revealed that the whole thing had her feeling disheartened. Damn, I can't win for losing. All these awards I can't even celebrate. Still, Nicki carried on complaining about her mistreatment.
If you can't tell by now that there is a concerted effort to give newer artists things that they really don't deserve over people who have been deserving for many years, then you're not paying attention. And by the way, this is not to say any song is bad or any female rapper is bad. I think, and I always say this, any rapper, female or male, that wins a Grammy, you should be fucking proud of yourself. But why is the goalpost only ever moved when it's Nicki? Well, I'll tell you why. They don't want the people who they have in the industry to have to go up against me.
Playing the age card just 1 year after Nas finally won a Grammy over 25 years into his career, it wasn't long before Latto finally snapped, and in a lengthy Twitter exchange, she labels her a 40-year-old bully, referencing a subtweet where Nicki asked her followers to stop putting that dud on the timeline. Been snubbing, she continued. Super freaky grandma is married and related to fucking rapists. You ain't gonna bully me, bitch. My idol turned rival. As Nicki responded, she took aim at Latto's previous love for her, saying, "This Karen has probably mentioned my name in over 100 interviews. Says she waited in line for Pink Friday with her Barbie chain on. But today, she decides to be silent rather than speak up for the black woman she called her biggest inspiration." From there, the shots kept flying until Latto tried to shut the whole thing down by dropping snippets on a phone call. And in that call, the mask slipped a bit, giving the public a glimpse of the real Nicki, right down to some vague, low-key threats aimed at Latto.
"So what I'm gonna do is, I'm gonna have somebody send you the information about all the women in the last 10 years who have had Billboard recognition, worldwide global recognition, since you are clearly putting yourself above these people.
What I'm saying is it was you running shit for a long time. I never said that you're no longer running shit. I said that there are other females flourishing. What is the problem with that?
If people around you cared about you, they would have told you. That's not going to benefit you."
"What's not going to benefit me?
Let me go. I have to do a Zoom. I'll hit you back. Thank you."
As the feud came to an end, Nicki began deleting posts while Latto spoke out in interviews about how the whole thing felt to her. "It's difficult navigating through situations like that because there's a disconnect. I will look at myself as a fan of someone, and they will view me in a whole different light. It's disappointing. You just gotta take it to the chin and keep pushing." And it's not like she's the only one who had to keep it moving after falling out with Nicki. A perfect example of that is Megan Thee Stallion. Like many others who've demented since her queendom over the culture began, Nicki seemed to welcome Megan into hip-hop, even popping up on the remix to Hot Girl Summer. But over time, Nicki would begin to feel as though she had been disrespected, and began to cryptically diss Megan on Queen Radio.
"What if one of your favorite rappers went and did voodoo? Like, actually went to a voodoo person on multiple occasions? And so fucking dumb, went talking about it, not only talking about it, but went talking about it to people and didn't know that somebody that was in air reach that knows me very well, won't say how. Would you still like that person? Imagine your self-esteem being so low that you resorting to voodoo and witchcraft as if you don't have to pay it back. Am I that much of a threat? Could you imagine being that much of a weak bitch?"
Whether or not all of this was true was unclear, but as the subs continued, Megan eventually responded with a less than subtle jab on Hiss, where she referenced Nicki's husband Kenneth Petty's sex offender status, rapping that they aren't mad at Megan, but Megan's law. Within hours of the track dropping, Nicki went on a rant so deranged that it led to her having to deny that she ever tried coke.
"You will not disrespect Papa Bear, you dirty fucking ran through third ass, bum ass bitch. Broke bitch, you broke bitch. Tell him the truth, bitch."
From there, she would go on to continue to prove that she was a generational hater, and that she'd stop at nothing to bring Megan down, all the way from the largely dismissed Bigfoot diss track to posting about her whenever the opportunity arose. If your last 5 to 10 releases flopped, if the internet checks don't clear outside in real life, if all the paid blogs and paid tweets equal flop after flop after flop album, she posted. "Did y'all run up that Barbie World song they tried?" she added. "It's bubbling under this week, video and all, and it didn't crack the Hot 100. They're losing so much money, ain't generate one penny of profit yet, and claim she went to college and can't read her contract, and other manipulation so she can kick people to the curb after they helped her. Did y'all run up her Color Purple song? Nope. Huge VMA's performance, big video equals flop. Every album she's ever released equals flop. Paid media all the time, fraudulent awards equal flopped. Horrible actor that can't cry on cue, pathological and manipulative liar using ghostwriters and still suck. For all that she's achieved during her career, Nicki's tendency to wreak havoc at the drop of a hat is almost as big of a part of her legacy as anything. And these days, her lashing out has progressed to the point that it's not just limited to famous faces. Instead, anyone who has any form of critique of her, without even tagging her, can lead to an abrupt and far-reaching rant online. In the process, with Nicki redirecting it all back to her recent target, Desiree Perez. Tired of seeing Nicki rant on Twitter. It's a mental illness. Yet you're following me. What about a woman allegedly putting listening devices and cameras in her adult daughter's bedroom and watching her have sex with her husband, blocked for being cursed? At once a phenomenal artist and a veteran of the game, Nicki should and would be treated with the utmost respect. But unfortunately, both her inability to open the door for anyone else long term and her tendency to interpret everything as being about her, whether it is or it isn't, hadn't done wonders for her reputation. And at the rate things are going, she could end up doing permanent damage to her legacy, something you'd think someone as important to the industry as Nicki would want to avoid. And if it does happen, it'd be a damn shame for everyone who's defended her, right up to the point where she becomes fully indefensible, even by those who let her get away with anything, and in turn, created what we see now.